Great. Today's passage is from 2 Samuel chapter 9. We're kind of done with our series in Acts. And I think maybe starting this month, I'm going to just follow the Sunday school text and preach from what our kids are learning. So the parents can have the same text, and that'll give an opportunity for parents to talk to their children about the Bible story that they learned that week. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 9. The whole chapter is a short chapter. I'll just read it for all of us. One day, David asked, "Is there anyone left of Saul's family? If there is, I would like to show him kindness for Jonathan's sake." There was a servant of Saul's family named Ziba, and he was told to go to David. "Are you Ziba?" the king asked. "At your service, sir," he answered. The king asked him, "Is there anyone left of Saul's family to whom I can show loyalty and kindness, as I promised God I would?" Ziba answered, "There is still one of Jonathan's sons. He is crippled." "Where is he?" the king asked. "At the home of Machir, son of Ammiel in Lodabar," Ziba answered. So King David sent for him. When Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan and grandson of Saul, arrived, he bowed down before David in respect. David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "At your service, sir." "Don't be afraid," David replied. "I will be kind to you for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will give you back all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always be welcome at my table." Mephibosheth bowed again and said, "I am no better than a dog, a dead dog, sir. Why should you be so good to me?" Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said, "I am giving Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You, your sons, and your servants will farm the land for your master Saul's family and bring in the harvest to provide food for them. But Mephibosheth himself will always be a guest at my table." Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba answered, "I will do everything your majesty commands." So Mephibosheth ate at the king's table, just like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. All the members of Ziba's family became servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet, lived in Jerusalem, eating all his meals at the king's table. So as we have announced, this Friday we will have our retreat, annual summer retreat at Monte Toyon. That's in Aptos. And the theme for the summer is Amazing Grace. During Lent this year, we went through grace immersion. And we are coming back to that theme again at the retreat. Because this year we were seeking a spiritual renewal for us. And we believe a renewal happens when we experience God's grace. So that is why the theme is God's grace again. And we know that Christianity is all about grace. And that is what distinguishes Christianity from all other religions. And today I want to set the tone for the retreat by looking at an Old Testament text that talks about God's grace. Now we all know the famous King David, how he killed the giant Goliath. And David instantly became a national hero. In the beginning, King Saul liked him as well. But when Saul realized that David was much more popular than he was, he burned with jealousy. And from that time on, for many, many years, Saul tried to kill David. But many years later, Saul and his son Jonathan die in a battle against the Philistines, and David is made the king of Israel. And in ancient days, as we all know, it was very common practice for a king of a new dynasty to exterminate, to kill all the members of the former king's family. And this was to prevent any member of the old dynasty from laying a claim to the throne. And thinking that David's men would come after them, members of Saul's family fled. And 2 Samuel chapter 4 tells us that Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth, it's kind of hard to pronounce, who was only then 5 years old. He was a little boy. The nurse picked him up and ran, but in her hurry, she fell, and the boy became crippled in both feet. And we don't hear anything more about Mephibosheth for another 25 years. But we see him again in 2 Samuel chapter 9 in today's text. He is now an adult, he has a son, and he's still lame in both feet and cannot walk. And by now, David was a very well-established, very powerful king. And he fought and won battle after battle and expanded the boundaries of Israel. And the nation was strong and prosperous, and he's at the height of his power. And when he was, you know, very successful, he remembered his old friend Jonathan. And David knew how much Jonathan loved him, you know, King Saul's son, and remembered a covenant or a promise that he made with Jonathan. Jonathan knew that the Lord had chosen David as the next king, and that his father Saul had rejected God's rule. So Jonathan made David promise him that when David becomes a king, that he would not kill Jonathan or his descendants. So David makes a covenant with Jonathan, saying that, "I will not kill you or any of your family members, but show hesed, or loving kindness, to Jonathan's house forever." And to keep his promise, David called his men and asked, "Is there anyone left, anyone surviving in Saul's family to whom I can show loving kindness for the sake of Jonathan?" And the word kindness here is the Hebrew word hesed, and it's much stronger than kindness. Some other versions has loving kindness or steadfast love. Hesed is a combination of loyalty, kindness, love, and faithfulness. And it is this hesed that moves God to make a covenant with his people. And David wanted to show God's hesed to the remnants of Saul's family. In Galatians 2:7, Paul tells us that God saved us to demonstrate the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness for us in Christ. The loving kindness David shows Mephibosheth illustrates the kindness that God showed to us in Jesus. Now, King David's men brings a servant of Saul named Ziba, and from Ziba, David learns that Mephibosheth is crippled and that he is living in a place called Lodabar. And in Hebrew, Lodabar means no pasture. It's a barren land, a barren place. He lived in obscurity and poverty in a barren land. And this also points to his spiritual state as well. Spiritually, he was living a barren life. He felt empty, lost, forgotten, and unimportant. He calls himself a dead dog. And that shows a very low self-esteem he had for himself. But when he meets King David, his whole life changes for the better. In today's story, we see how David showed loving kindness to Mephibosheth. And when he was summoned by the king, he probably thought that David was now going to kill him because he was the last person surviving in the Saul's family. But to his surprise, David, the first word that comes out of his mouth is, "Mephibosheth, don't be afraid. I will surely be kind to you." The most often repeated words in the Bible is God telling his people, "Do not fear, don't be afraid." And somebody actually counted this and counted that there's 356 "do not fears" in the Bible. That's one "do not fears" for each day of our lives. So, you know, in a sense, God is saying to us every day, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Because, you know, we as human beings, we fear many, many things. And the first thing that God tells us every day is, "Don't be afraid." Another way David shows loving kindness is calling Mephibosheth by his name. Ziba, the servant of Saul, is not a good character. We learn later in 2 Samuel. And he does not respect Mephibosheth. And when David asked him, is there no one left in Saul's house? He says, oh, there is still a son of Jonathan. He doesn't call his name. He's crippled in both feet. His tone is very dismissive. Oh, there's Jonathan's son, but he's not important. He's no big deal. He doesn't deserve anybody's attention. And Ziba does not want to use his name. He wants him to be nameless person. But King David asks his name. Well, what was his name? And calls him by his name Mephibosheth. And he was affirming who Mephibosheth was. And by calling his name, he is giving him a dignity as a human being. And David expresses his goodwill toward Mephibosheth. I will surely be kind to you for the sake of your father, Jonathan. And then he makes a stunning speech. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul. And as a king, he had many, many properties, many lands. And David did not have to restore the inheritance to Mephibosheth. And nobody would have blamed him for not doing so. But David sought him out to restore his inheritance. This poor Mephibosheth, who lived in a barren place, has now king's property. David more than provided for the needs of Mephibosheth. The restoration of the family inheritance is a huge, huge favor. And this was more than enough for him. But his loving kindness, David's love, does not stop there. He adds, and you will always eat at my table. This phrase is so important that it gets repeated in the text 4 times. If you read, chapter 9, this phrase gets repeated not just twice, not just 3, but 4 times. Is that important? You will always eat at my table. Now, when I was growing up, some of you have been to New York City. Everybody says that the best steakhouse in New York City is Peter Luger's. It was very expensive, so I never had a chance to go there. But I knew somebody who went there, and they just give like amazing testimonies of dining at Peter Luger's. And imagine you save up some money and you go there, and it just happens to be their 100th anniversary, and they do a lottery, and you win the lottery and the prizes. You get to dine here for the rest of your life. That would be great, right? Wouldn't that be great? But dining at King's Table is even better. All the best chefs are at the palace. But it's not just about eating the choicest food. Dining at the king's table was the highest honor anybody can receive. And even now, going to the White House to have dinner with President Obama, that's a big deal, right? Only the highly honored guests of the state can dine with the king. It's a great honor. So David not only restores the physical property, but he restores his honor. And there's more. You will always eat at my table also means that Mephibosheth is treated like a prince, like one of the sons of King David. Verse 11 says, so Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of king's sons. Besides being the highly honored guest, only the children of king could eat with the king. You will always eat at my table is a gesture by David to treat Mephibosheth as one of his own sons. It's practically an adoption. He was adopted by David as his son, and he had the right to dine with the king every day. So he dined with handsome prince like Absalom and brainy Solomon. And he's just, Mephibosheth, when he hears that, he's just stunned. What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? And after he receives such a grace, he becomes a different person. He had a son named Micah, and Micah must have witnessed how his own father changed. Before in Lodabar, his father lived defeated, joyless, lifeless, broken existence, filled with self-pity. But after they moved to Jerusalem, Mephibosheth had sparkle in his eyes. He was filled with gratitude, joy, and praise. He became a better husband and a better father. Though he was still lame, there was a sense of wholeness in him. He no longer was absorbed in self-pity, but he looked after the needs of others, and he generously shared what he had with those in need. And he was no longer insecure because the king's favor rested on him. Now, on the surface, it looks as if David's motive for showing loving kindness for Mephibosheth was because of his covenant with Jonathan, but there is even a deeper or stronger motive for David to do so. What moved David to show loving kindness is this. Only two chapters before chapter 9, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God appears and God promises marvelous things for David. He says, "I took you from pasture and made you to be ruler of my people. I have been with you and have cut off all your enemies. Now I will make your name great." You know, echoes of Abraham. I myself will establish a house for you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." And overwhelmed with God's grace, David here reacts just like Mephibosheth. "Who am I, O Lord, that you take notice of me? Is this your usual way of dealing with people?" He is stunned. Out of God's hesed, God makes a covenant with David to establish his house and his throne forever. God is grace. Grace is extending favor to someone who does not deserve it, who hasn't earned it, and who can never repay it. That's grace. It was David's receiving of God's grace that prompted David to look for ways to be gracious to other people, even to an enemy of enemy's household. As God poured his grace upon David and Mephibosheth, God has shown to you and I his loving kindness, his hesed. We too have received God's amazing grace through his son Jesus Christ. Romans 5 tells us that we were weak, not being able to make our way to God on our own. And because we have rejected God's rule, we were sinners and enemies of God, the Bible says. And yet, Christ came to seek and save the lost. He died for us to demonstrate his love. Christ rose to prove that he is God's son and gave us eternal life. Christ knows us and calls us by our names. Christ washed us and cleansed us from our sins. And he made us right before God. He justified us. And God adopted us as one of his children. And he says, "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. With you I am well pleased." And Christ restored our relationship with God and our inheritance. And Christ sets a table before us and says, "You will always dine at my table." And overwhelmed with God's grace, all we can say is, "God, who am I that you are mindful of me? Who am I that you take notice of me?" That is our response to God's grace. And if we have experienced God's grace, like David and Mephibosheth, we can begin to be gracious toward other people. Rather than judging others right or wrong, we begin to love people as they are. And we try to build others up. You begin to love others unconditionally. You allow others room to fail, to disagree, to make mistakes. And if we have experienced God's grace, we are to show that grace to our spouses, to our children, to our friends, church members, and church leaders, coworkers, and neighbors. Though Mephibosheth received favor from King David, he must have understood that ultimately it was God's grace that saved his life from a barren existence. And though it was written by King David, I think Mephibosheth's favorite psalm is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, as opposed to Lodebar. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That sounds like the story of Mephibosheth, the one who received amazing grace. So let us every day remind ourselves that we too have received the same amazing, overwhelming grace from our Father. And let us be gracious in our dealings with other people, especially the ones that are close to us. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so overwhelmed, we're stunned that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, would come down and seek us. You've asked, is there anyone on earth to whom I can show my chesed? And you came down and you demonstrated your love for us by dying for sinners on the cross. You took away our punishment. You took away our shame. And you rose to show us that you are the Son of God, that you are the one who gives life eternal. Lord, we thank you for what you have done for us. We also pray for the retreat. We pray that we would go there seeking your face and that we would once again experience your amazing grace in a new way, in a fresh way, so that we can be renewed, empowered, and motivated to be gracious toward other people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.